chapter 4. Just going to read these three verses to get started. We started a week ago a series, Walking Wisely, a study in Proverbs, although I believe last week's study was in the book of Ecclesiastes. But tonight, here we are in chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs. And we'll read verses 20 through 22, and then we'll have a short word of prayer. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine heart unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Lord, we ask that you would bless the Bible study tonight, that you would just lead us and guide us and help us to think about these truths and make application to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, just as a side note, we had a great service today at the Adult Day Center, and I really praise the Lord for that. The last two times I was there, it was hot and they were sleepy, and I went today, and they were raring and ready to go. I mean, it was great. There was a lot of give and take, and got to preach the gospel, and I praise the Lord for that. Okay. Now, the other thing what you need to do tonight is some of you need to put a smile on your face. It looks like, it is the end of the world for some of you here tonight. I mean, spring is coming. The snow is melting. Before you know it, the crocuses will be growing, or the croaking, or whatever they do. Croci. Yeah, tonight's Bible study, the theme of it is wisdom and truth. And, of course, the book of Proverbs, it is just a book of wisdom and truth. Amen? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But if you notice on your handout, and like you're all looking down, so I guess you're studiously looking at the handout, it says in the opening paragraph, unfortunately, the world is not short on foolish people. And then with the proliferation of iPhones and video cameras and other things you could put in there, there just seems to be an endless string of cyberspace showing foolish people at their worst. And a lot of the stuff you see on Facebook, quite frankly, I'm not saying you put this on there, but a lot of stuff that ends up on Facebook is just absolute foolishness. It really is. But the writer of Proverbs here, he gives some great words with regards to wise living. And God's Word, the vibrancy, the pulsating of God's Word, how relevant it needs to be in our lives. So let me ask you this as we get started about foolishness and wisdom. Now, this is not including someone who's political, but can you think of someone in our lifetime or even right now, contemporary, who is just foolish? But I won't take any political examples. There's plenty of those. But somebody might be foolish. You know, they just stand out as foolish. Or things that you've heard. It doesn't have to be a famous person. I was thinking of some things that young people do that are in the news that are foolish. Can't think of anything? Like, I was thinking of this. You know, like, now, you know, we have a dishwasher, and you have these little, like, these packets you put in the dishwasher. Well, what is it, a year and a half ago? Kids were eating those. I mean, why would you eat one of those? Okay. Non-political stuff, all right? That's just foolishness, things like that. Or here's something else young people did some years ago, and they did this because they saw it in a movie. There's a lot of foolishness in movies, amen? So in this movie, I don't even know the name of the movie. In this movie, the characters would dare one another to lie down on the center line of a road. It could be Main Street. And you would lie there. It was like a dare. Except some kids did that, and one kid got ran over. You know, it's just foolishness. There's a lot of foolish things that people do that that you just wonder why they do it, and especially young people. But older people do foolish things as well. But then there's other people who are wise people, people who are thoughtful. Can you think of any? Couldn't get you to think of any examples of foolishness. What about somebody in your lifetime that you would think, that was a pretty wise person? Wow. Can't think of any wise people, huh? That's a great example. That's a very good example. Donna's grandmother. Yeah, teachers point you in the right direction. Good. Anything else? I saw on the news last night, or maybe it was two nights ago. I don't know how, I don't know a lot about her, but apparently they flew home this doctor from South Africa who is leading now. She's world renowned. Oh, what's the term that they use for contagious diseases? She's not a neurologist, but infectious diseases. She is the foremost doctor with regards to infectious disease. And she flew in from, she was in South Africa working on infectious disease in South Africa. And certainly with whatever and however this virus is spreading, that's the kind of person you want working on it, right? Someone who knows about these things. Anyhow, just in practically speaking, huh? Somebody going to say something? Okay. Just practically speaking, as we look at this text here, just a couple of things with regards to our personal lives. So Solomon writes this, and he says in verse 20, "My son," and he says, "Attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings." So if you notice on your handout, the importance, if we're going to walk through this world in wisdom and truth, and there is so much foolishness, so much going on, it's so important that personally, we need to ask ourselves, are we assimilating God's word in our lives? Are we assimilating God's word? In other words, do we desire to resemble the word of God? In Romans chapter 8, you remember what Paul wrote there, and he reminded us to all be conformed, that we're to be conformed into the image of Christ. Amen? And it's so important for our kids, our grandkids. Like now I've got, how many grandkids do we got? 7 grandkids. All right? 7 grandkids. So as their grandpa, you know, I don't want them to think, I want them to see, I would like when my time has come, and if the Lord doesn't return, and my grandkids are sitting in a Bible study, and the preacher then asks the question, who was somebody that you could think of that was wise in your life? I would like my legacy for my grandkids to say, well, we had a grandpa who was pretty wise. Wouldn't that be great? Amen? Yeah. Well, it just doesn't happen. And it just didn't happen for Donna's grandmother. She added some principles in her life and some guidance and some direction in her life. And that's true. It's true for all of us. So the two key words here, just in this first verse, are the words to attend and to incline. When I think of those words, I think how important it is that we focus. There's a lot of, you know, for you and I as believers, we need to stay focused, keep our eyes on Jesus, amen, the author and the finisher of our faith. But even in Christianity, there is a lot of careless wandering from God's word. Like I had heard about this, but I hadn't really seen all of the details. And I got a YouTube today of a guy from California. His name is Bill Johnson, and he's the pastor of a huge charismatic church there. And apparently, a couple in that church, their daughter died, and so he has led the church into praying for her resurrection. And she's in a morgue. And this church has my understanding is there are 9,000 members to this church, one of the largest churches in California. And I don't want to get into all the details of it, but it's just foolish. They're also proponents of going and laying on graves. And it would be like going to D.L. Moody's grave and laying on his grave, and they call it, and hoping that the spirit of God that was on D.L. Moody, you could draw it out of it. There's a lot of foolish things that go on in Christianity. But you would think, well, that would be some little fringe group somewhere. There's 9,000 people attending that church, and they have satellite churches. So foolishness is everything from something like that to kids lying down in the middle of the road getting hit by a car. And it's so important that we stay focused on the things of God, and so that we have the wisdom of God in our lives. Notice this on your handout, Proverbs chapter number 12 and verse 15. Let's read this out loud. Won't you with me? Proverbs 12, 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Now, I'm sure all of you, or almost all of you, if not all of you, have read through the book of Proverbs numerous times. The word fool and foolish is found all throughout the book of Proverbs. In fact, if you don't want to be foolish, it's a great book to read. And I've done this on occasion because there are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. As a devotional, you can read one proverb a day each day of the month in addition to whatever Bible. It's like instead of a daily bread, you have your daily proverb. And then you can do your daily bread or whatever your personal devotion is. And I've done that on occasion. I don't have to be doing it right now, but I have done that. But the fool, he's right in his own eyes. And that's because his eyes aren't on the Word of God and the things of God. And the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he reminds his son, listen, the importance of attending to his words. And of course, when he refers to that, we're also, and we'll see it in a few minutes, referring to the need to refer to the Word of God, the importance that's laid upon the Word of God. Another proverb says this, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. That was one of Shelley's favorite verses when she was raising the kids. And she made application with regards to that verse on numerous times. But you know what? From a figurative point or a spiritual point of view, the rod of correction can also, we can think of it for our own personal lives as the Word of God. That the Word of God will deal with the issues of life that need to be dealt with. Verse 21 of the text, it says this, Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Take your Bibles for a moment and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I think it's one of the great chapters in the Bible with regards to the home and family. But the writer of Proverbs, Solomon, he had said, speaking regarding his word, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. In other words, the word of God needs to be continually before us. Well, in Deuteronomy chapter 6, just pick it up, if you will, in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And then he gives this instruction. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, just stay there for a moment. Let me read this again. In verse 21, it said, keep them in the midst of thine heart. So the whole point here in Deuteronomy chapter 6 is not only loving our God, but if we're going to love our God, then these words that are given, they need to be kept in our heart. He said in verse 7, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." In other words, keeping their focus on the Word of God in every aspect of life and everything that we do. And today we have so many tools to do that. I mean, if you travel with children, there are all kinds of in entertainment even that keeps the Word of God before children's eyes. It's so important. But then look at verse 8. "Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. Thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." In other words, written down. Like, I don't know how many of you have this, but in our house, we've had like the Ten Commandments on the wall for years. If you go to Washington, they understood the importance of the things of God because the Word of God is all over the place in Washington, D.C. I hear, by the way, I'd like to go see it. And I hear that the Bible Museum and that the guy from Hobby Lobby funded is supposed to be spectacular. It's supposed to be a great place to visit. So, but if you've ever gone to the House of Representatives, and if you've stood in the well of the House of Representatives, in the House of Representatives, there are portraits, reliefs on either side. So if this is where the Speaker of the House would be, there are here and over here and here and over here are reliefs of famous people. And people like Thomas Jefferson, people like William Blackstone, James Mason, other people from many, many years ago, Greek, they're all lawmakers through history. Now here's something interesting. Square in the back is one portrait of a man who is looking forward. All of the portraits on this side would be looking to it would be the east. In other words, this side they're all looking to the one portrait in the back. And then all the portraits of these figures are looking to the west. So if the portrait was here, it would be looking this way. And the portrait, they're all looking that way. Does anybody know the one portrait in the back who's not looking to the side, who's looking down upon the well of the House of Representatives? Anybody know what figure that is? Huh? It's Moses. Good guess. It's Moses. Is that what you were going to say? You've been there to see it, I know. I've been there with you to see it. It's Moses. And so the whole point of that is all of these famous lawmakers from the beginning of the of the founding of our country and then all back through time, English lawmakers, Greek lawmakers, but they're all looking towards Moses. And the idea of that is the importance of the Ten Commandments, the importance of the Word of God with regards to our culture. And so the same is true in our homes. And it used to be true in our schools, too. But no longer can you find the... And so do we wonder why there's just so much foolishness? So you and I, we have a great responsibility. We're living in a very foolish world to walk wisely because people will see Christ living in and through us. But then you can go back now to Proverbs chapter 4. So, my son, he says, attend to my words and incline thine ear unto my sayings. Okay, assimilate my words into your life. Resemble my words. But then in verse 21, I thought of this too, when he said, let them not depart from thine eyes, we saw that in Deuteronomy, and keep them in the midst of thine heart. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Now, let me say this. In my years of pastoring, I've known people who have memorized God's Word. They really have. They've memorized it. And if you ask them a particular, to quote a particular scripture, they could probably, boom, just like that. And that's a good thing. But I've known some of those people who never really made any assimilation of God's Word, the practice of it in their lives. They memorized it, but they didn't apply it. I've had, in my years as pastor, not a lot, but I can think of especially one occasion, a man who, if I preached a message and didn't quote the Scripture word perfect, he would want to make an appointment with me. And he would want to talk to me about the fact that I was changing the Word of God. Well, this man had a lot of hidden sin in his life. And he needed to make some application to God's Word. But when the writer of Proverbs said this, "Keep them in the midst of thine heart." And it's really the second point. Personally, we need to meditate on God's Word. You know, when you think about meditating on something, what do you think about? You think about thinking about it, right? When you're meditating on it, you give it thought. And why would Solomon mention this? Because it's our thoughts. It's in our heart. It guides us. It directs us. Our actions, our attitudes, our motives, they proceed from the heart. Now look on your handout. Here is something foolish that the Pharisees did to Jesus. Jesus had just delivered a man from demonic possession. And you know what the Pharisees accused him of? They accused Jesus of having the ability to deliver someone from demonic possession, and he was getting that power from Beelzebub, Satan himself. And here was Jesus' response. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of an evil treasure, he bringeth forth evil things." In other words, the things that are overflowing from your heart, this is just foolish. He was basically saying to them, "Do you understand what you're saying? I've just delivered a man from demonic oppression, and you're saying that the power that I had to do this came from Satan." It doesn't even make sense. Why would Satan deliver someone from demonic beings? Are you listening to yourself? And sometimes if people would just think about things, sometimes if Christians would just meditate on the Word of God a little, they wouldn't make foolish mistakes, do foolish things. Take your Bibles and go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Verse 9. So we're talking about meditating on God's Word. "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. With my whole heart," remember, that's what Solomon was talking about in Proverbs, the heart. "With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Then verse 15, "I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways." I've often said, look up here just for a minute, I've often said as a pastor, I would rather have members of the church read just a few verses of Scripture each day and think about them than to get involved in a 3 chapters a day reading through the Bible all year. Now, it's good if you could read through 3 chapters and think about what you're reading, but you understand what I'm saying. I'd rather you read 3 verses and think about it and meditate on it and how does it apply versus... Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not discouraging you from reading through 3 chapters a day and working through the Bible. All right? I'm not discouraging that at all. I think that's great. But you understand what I'm saying. It doesn't do you any good to read through three chapters and just, well, I've read my three chapters and I put my Bible down and I go on and never think about it all day long. And then the next day, oh, I've read my... Now, I think there's probably some value in it because the Holy Spirit can take what you've read and help and remind you. But I mean, the whole idea of meditating is to think about, well, what have I just read? And I'll be honest with you, I have some days, I get my devotional time, I open up the Bible, I read through it, and I'm all done, and I stop and I think, what did I just read? And I'll go back and I'll read it again. And some days I'll read just a chapter, some days I'll read two or three chapters, some days I'll read through a whole one of Paul's epistles in my devotions. But the point is, we personally need to meditate and think about God's Word if we're going to be wise. It's just kind of stirring around, that's stirring it around in our heart. And I think that's what the psalmist is saying. And so, we're reminded here, as we read through this, of some of the effects that God has in chapter 119. He says in verse 19 again, or verse 9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. So if you notice these three subpoints, the Scriptures have a curative effect upon us. There's a curative effect. If there's something ill or wrong in our lives, reading through the Scriptures, if it's leading us into foolishness, it kind of takes care of that. It takes care of that. And in verse 10, with my whole heart I've sought thee. Let me not wander from thy commandments. That's a preventative and a corrective effect. That's what the Word of God does. If we're listen, all of us, there's not a one of us in this room, not until we get to heaven, there are going to be things and temptations that come our way and we're going to fail. It's just who we are. And so the Word of God brings us back on track. That's the curative effect or the corrective effect. Or the preventive. It prevents us from doing something foolish. And so if our children or grandchildren or if the young people don't see it in us, then we're not doing our part. We're not doing our part. In biblical meditation, the mind is active and it's focusing on the meaning and it's focusing on the application of God's Word. That's how we walk in wisdom and that's how we walk in truth. That's how we prevent ourselves from doing something foolish. And then lastly, personally, we need to assess our commitment to God's Word. And go back to Proverbs chapter 20. I think we should regularly assess our commitment to God's Word. I think sometimes we fail to do that. But the writer of Proverbs, he said this. I'm in chapter 20. I need to be in chapter 4. Give me a second here. So my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. So assimilation of God's Word. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, regularly meditating upon the things of God. And now look at verse 22. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Life and health. Wow. One of my favorite verses in the Bible I have on the handout for you, John 10:10. Jesus said this, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Now, would you read the second part out loud with me? And I'm here. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That's a great thought. When I think and I read through Proverbs here, and he talks about life and health, the joy of the Lord, the completeness of the Lord in our lives. It's so, you know, you can go through life, you know, you remember the old saying, that you can either go through life, the glass is half full. How does that go? I just forgot it. The glass is half empty, or the glass is half full. Thank you. Okay, if you go through life and the glass is half empty, it's just like, ugh. And it's kind of like depressing. Like, oh, this is, everything's bad, everything's doom, everything's gloom. Listen, the world's always been a mess. It's always been a mess. It's been a mess since Adam and Eve sinned against God. Nothing new under the sun. So you can go through life and, oh, things are just terrible. I'm saved. I have eternal life. We were singing "This Little Light of Mine" at the Adult Day Center today. I was about to leave, and some of the ladies, they wanted to sing. Somebody started singing "Jesus Loves Me." Oh, yeah, that's great. That's a Sunday school song. And they all started singing "Jesus Loves Me." And if anybody was going to go through life and have the idea that the glass is half empty, it's everybody at the Adult Day Center. They are in rough shape there. And then somebody else wanted to sing "Jesus Loves the Little Children." And so I start singing all these Sunday school songs. And they're all, you know, most of them, they're mature. I remember that. And I felt, I don't know if they got anything else I said, but on the way out, I felt, I brought a little cheer to their lives. And they were smiling, they were laughing. Oh, yeah, we remember that one too. And then we all sang "This Little Light of Mine." We even sang "Don't Let Satan Blow It Out." Oh, they love that verse, you know. Listen, walking through this world wisely and in truth means just have a healthy attitude about things. Don't be, you know, Debbie Downer about everything. We're going to heaven. No, I didn't say Deborah Downer. I said Debbie Downer. Right. But the writer of Proverbs, speaking of God's word, they are life unto those that find Him and health to all their flesh. It's the word of God. You've got to have the right attitude. But you know, that's how we can become. That's foolishness. How are we going to let our light shine in this world if we're always going through life with a glass half empty? I don't think Jesus went through this life with a glass half empty attitude. He wouldn't have said, "I've come to give you life and to give you life more abundantly." So I think sometimes if we're not in the Word of God or we're not meditating on the Word of God, we just become doomers and gloomers. It's so fleshly. When you think about it, it so feeds the flesh. It's so easy. It really takes assimilating God's word and meditating on God's word and assessing our commitment to God's word to live a life, spiritually speaking, the glass is half full. Because reality says this: if you know Jesus, the glass is neither half empty and the glass is neither half full. The glass is full all the time. It's overflowing. Abundance. Jesus said back there in Matthew, the abundance of the heart. The good man of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things. Just a heart that's overflowing. And then we've run out of time, and you can just quickly, when we talk about the promises here, and these are things that you know, but listen, there's just five simple things that the Word of God, and I'm just going to kind of read through them quickly, I'm not going to say much, but listen, the Word of God, it allows us to gauge our spiritual condition. That's why it's so important. The Word of God, it goads us, our maturity, keeps us from doing foolish things. Kind of, you know what a goad is, right? A goad is the instrument to kind of push the sheep along. Or the cattle, I guess. It guards us against sin of being foolish. The Word of God, it governs our behavior. But best of all, the Word of God guarantees our salvation. It guarantees we're going to heaven. So, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your goodness, your mercy, and your grace. We ask your great blessing now upon our prayer time. Thank you for the privilege that you give us to pray. As we come to the throne of grace, what a great honor it is. What a great joy that it is. Answer these prayer requests according to thy will in Jesus' name. Amen.